Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Pastor Mike. Welcome to Look Up. We hope you had a great 4th of July. We live up on the foothills, so there are no fireworks allowed up there. We like it. We had a nice quiet 4th of July. You know, when I guess you have different stages of life when you have the kids and the grandkids and you want to blow off firecrackers and put on a show. And we're just at that stage of life right now. We spent our 4th of July just together alone in a nice quiet neighborhood up in the foothills. And it was nice. We like that. So hopefully you got to spend your 4th of July exactly the way you like to spend it. We're all different. We're all in different stages of life. Hey, and because it was 4th of July, we missed yesterday, and we're going to pick up where we left off Tuesday, I believe. We are going through some of our favorite verses on marriage. And again, I got to make an exception to that because it's not just on marriage. It's actually scriptures to the Christian on relationships and getting along and attitudes towards one another. And then, of course, they all also apply to marriage. And I'll remind you, I know I'm repeating this a lot, but we believe that marriage can work. Any marriage can work when you have two people who are willing to do the right thing. So what we're doing is we're looking at the verses in the scriptures that will tend to give you direction and what the right thing is. So we're going to continue in 1 Peter chapter 3. We've been in this chapter for a while. This will probably be our last day in here unless we have some callers or sidetracks. We sometimes sidetrack ourselves. We call it spirit gusts rather than rabbit trails. So Linda's going to tell you how you could participate with us if you'd like to call in or text us, and we hope you do.
Hello, everybody. Here, let's move to where the camera actually is.
This thing turns, you could turn it.
Okay. If you want to call in and be live on the radio with us, we would love that. So give us a call. That number is 208-377-3790. Let me give you that number again. It's 208-377-3790. Now, if you just can't handle the thought of talking live on the radio, you can send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, 208-891-2635. And if you're out there in Facebook Live land, go ahead, leave something in the comments. We keep an eye on that one, too. So where are we going to pick up today?
Well, the verse we started with in 1 Peter, let me read it to you. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, that says, "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this so that you may inherit a blessing." Now, if this is how Christians are supposed to treat one another, then husbands, wives, you certainly ought to be treating one another at least this good and better, okay? So we are continuing in the text. Now, by the way, if you've missed our previous broadcast, you might want to look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and start at the beginning of the chapter, because that's exactly what we ended up doing. We had to go back to the beginning of the chapter because it does speak specifically, earlier verses speak specifically to husbands and wives and commands specifically to each one. And then it says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind." So what we're going to do now is we're going to end at, at this text here, but I'm reading ahead and I'm thinking, verses 13 through 17 have something unique to say. Verses 13 through 17 talk about suffering according to the will of God. Now, this is a foreign concept to a lot of people. Many people just think, if you're a Christian, you don't suffer. If you're a Christian, if you're walking with God, nothing bad happens to you. It's kind of like Job's comforters, you know. Job's comforters thought that because of everything he was going through in his life, all the suffering and all of his loss, he must not have been right with God. Nothing can be further from the truth. The fact of the matter is, when you walk with God, there's all kinds of suffering that are included within God's will. Sometimes it's persecution. And not that it's God's will that he's gone, yes, I want you to go around being persecuted, but it's God's will that you stand up against persecution and not buckle and not forsake your faith when you're being persecuted. Sometimes the suffering comes in the form of satanic attack, spiritual warfare, or temptation, really struggling with good and evil and sin itself. And so that is another kind of suffering that is very legitimate suffering in a Christian's life. If you don't suffer with those things, then you're dead, okay? And so it goes on to talk about in this text some suffering. Let me just read the verses to you and then maybe we'll make some comments on it. 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to just read verse 13 through 17 and hopefully that's all we'll be covering before we move on to our next text. Peter says, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good?" Now, don't just take that verse by itself, because some people will rest there. They'll camp there, and they'll think, well, if I just do what's good, nothing bad will happen to me. No, I think Peter's going to go on to say, who will harm you is bad people. It's not like God's not going to hurt you. God's not going to be against you if you walk in the Spirit and do what's right. But there are certainly other people who don't like when you do what is good. Okay, let me read that again. Who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? The answer is obvious. The devil will try to harm you, evil people, sinners, religious fanatics. And that's why what Peter's really saying is you don't have to worry that God will harm you. Yes.
I think one thing, too, that we do need to point out is there is a thing, basically, let me call it real life suffering.
Mm-hmm.
We all go through things like the rain will fall on the just and the unjust. Christian or non-Christian, there are things that we just go through because we are living and we're living around other people. We will get sick ourselves. We will watch other people get sick. We'll watch people die. You know, there's real life suffering that comes upon everyone too. Even if you choose that good way of life, it's not a guarantee that you're not going to have to go through something hard in your life.
Right.
You're going to.
Right.
You are alive, like Mike said. You're not dead already. So unless everything goes absolutely perfect in your life and then you're the first one to die, you're going to go through suffering.
Yeah. Dead men feel no pain.
Yeah, there's going to be some kind of suffering you're going to go through. So with real life suffering, can we encourage you? Don't add more because of sin.
Absolutely. And that's
don't
what this
add
text
more.
Is
yes.
going to be saying
yes.
here.
Yeah. Don't add more to it. There is enough suffering as it is, and there will be a suffering for righteousness.
Yeah.
Because you are choosing to do the right thing. Just look at the political climate nowadays. Oh, my. You know, I seen a thing on Facebook where somebody put, you know, at one moment people are screaming because babies have been taken away from their mothers, and the next moment they're screaming because they're afraid that they're going to have their right taken away to kill their own baby. You know, it's the climate we live in. If we make decisions to do things God's way, yeah, there's going to be some persecution, isn't there?
Always. And and don't think that, oh, we're in such evil times, there's never been times this evil. The fact of the matter is, there's always been evil times, okay? When Jesus came, it was evil times. Religion was corrupt. And it's been an ebb and flow over church history, over human history. There's been an ebb and flow of battle between good and evil. And I think I've told you before on this radio program, Linda and I like to watch sometimes the History Channel. We'll put on shows about a certain decade, the 60s, the 50s, the 20s, the 70s, and each one of those decades, you know, we lived through most of them, not the 20s, but we lived through most of them. And as we're watching it, we're going, yeah, that was bad. Whoa, I didn't realize on the brink we were as a nation. It looked like we were on the brink of destruction. It looked bad. And yet, ebb and flow of evil versus good. And if you study even America's history, you'll see very, very evil times. And then what we've seen, even in our lifetime, is a revival where the Lord did a revival. We remember back in the late 60s, early 70s that the Lord did the Jesus movement. And this is how the Calvary Chapel sprang forth out of that movement. And it was a true revival. I don't know how the church historians actually rate it as revival, but from what I remember, it was a real revival where people got on fire for the Lord. People weren't interested at all in church, all of a sudden started going to church. Entire generations of people who had been alienated from church now are worshiping God and serving Jesus and reading their Bible, all because of that revival. And it started around the Calvary Chapel movement with Chuck Smith, and it spread all over the place, the Vineyard, and there was other great moves of God that the Lord did. And so anyway, just keep your head up and realize that as bad as things may look, the Lord is a way of it's not the end of the world yet.
But pray for revival.
Yeah, that's what Linda and I were just talking about that on the way in, is that we're ripe for the next revival. We really need a revival because things are rough. I think we're also primed for revival. We're ready for it, okay? So let's continue now. And the next verse we're going to read here actually deals with suffering for righteousness' sake. Verse 14, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. See, first he says, who's going to hurt you if you do what's right? Who's going to harm you if you follow after what is good? And then he says, wait a minute. By the way, if you do suffer for righteousness' sake, then realize that you're blessed. How many people could do that? How many people could say, oh, I'm blessed. I really got persecuted at work today or out on the street today. But really, it's the godly attitude to realize, you know what? I'm right with the Lord. If you're not right with the Lord, then the world will love you. If you're living in sin and doing what the world does, they love their own, okay? But if you're walking in the Spirit and you're walking in the power of God and you're obeying Jesus and holding to the Scriptures, you will make enemies. There are people who don't like that. So it says, even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. So here's the thing. We can suffer for righteousness' sake, but what the Scriptures encourage us to not do is don't be afraid. Don't fear. You know, I mean, honestly, I've been around long enough. I was a mission pastor for a while. I remember hearing about churches in India being burnt down and pastors being beat up. I've seen a lot of this kind of stuff go on, and I know that Christians do suffer real harm. I mean, scary stuff, okay? But we need to keep our faith and not be afraid. And then I think that whenever we're given a command, by the way, don't do this, we're always given a way of how not to do that. You know, don't steal. It'll say, you know, don't steal, but work with your hands that you might be able to give to the poor. You know, so here's another one. It says, don't be afraid of their threats nor troubles. Verse 15 then says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. There's a lot here. I think we are starting to talk about this verse yesterday when we had a caller. And so what we're told is, how do you not live in fear? Well, you set aside the Lord in your heart and make sure that your focus, your passion, your heart is upon the Lord. And it says, sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense. And I think that's the word apologia. Let me look it up. Yeah, I look it up in the Greek. It's nice. You can put your cursor right over it nowadays with your software. It brings it right up. Apologia, that's where we get this term apologetics, the defense of the faith. And so Christians, not just the ministers, but every Christian should always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Now, let me take this piece by piece. First of all, it says, give an answer to the ones who ask you.
That's what I was noticing.
There are times when we just want to tell everybody what it is, you know. And I know when I take my team door to door, we try to build up a decent relationship of people are willing to talk. We try to get to know our neighbors as we say hello to the people in the Eagle area and let them know, you know, we're from Calvary Eagle. We just want to say hi to our neighbors. If they want to talk, we'll talk. If they don't want to talk, thank you for opening the door for us. And we'll leave some literature with them if they will take it. And if they have any questions, we love to answer the questions. But I think that's the best way to deal with people. is I'd much rather deal with people who have questions than people who want to argue, okay? There's been times I walk away from a door that was pretty rude and almost hostile. Sometimes they were hostile. And I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus, that on Sunday morning I get to stand before a bunch of people who want to know the truth. And I get to tell them the truth. Praise the Lord. Because they're going to church. They're there because they're wanting the Word of God. Hallelujah. I mean, what a joy to be able to teach the Word every Sunday morning and Wednesday night and stand before the people and give the, or even right here on the radio. I don't think you're listening because someone's holding a gun to your head, right? You're listening to the station because you want to hear the Word of God. You want to hear from the Lord. And so that's really the principle, that we should be ready to give an answer to the hope, for the hope that's within us, to everyone who asks. And then it says, with meekness and fear. So that's saying how you give a defense. If you're going to give a defense, you're not going to give an attack. And I think that's one of the mistakes that people make when they deal with the cults. And I train my door-to-door team in the same way. When we go to door-to-door and we ask somebody if they have a home church that they belong to and they mention a cult, you don't attack their church. You know, we'll open up a dialogue if they want to talk and we're friendly, but it's with meekness and fear. And this meekness is humility. Mildness. You're not coming to their door, or let's just say in the workplace, you're talking to people who are another religion or they're in a cult. You should defend your faith with meekness, humility, mildness, not aggressive, not shaking your finger at them, and fear. It's interesting. It says in fear, that means fear of God. That you know, I guess there's two ways you could actually apply that. First of all, you fear the Lord and you realize, you know, God is giving you this opportunity to share the faith. But another thing is you fear what can happen to them if they don't come to the Lord. And so when you're aware of the fear of God, you're aware of impending judgment. You want to rescue people from impending judgment. You don't want to send them to hell. You know, I've seen some people witness as if they're just hoping that the person who's listening goes straight to hell, do not pass go, you know. But when you witness, when you share your faith, when you give a defense for the hope that's within you, with meekness and fear, it takes on a whole nother spirit, a whole nother feel. Okay, so let me continue reading here. And it goes on to say, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Now it's talking about there are some people who actually make accusations against you. It says they defame you as evildoers. That means, you know, maybe you've seen it. Maybe you've seen it on late night talk shows. You know, people make fun of those religious nuts. I know some of the series that I've watched, even on Netflix, there's different things. It's like those holy roller religious nuts. And they'll even, I've seen it in video games. I've seen it in cinematic series where they make it seem like the way you recognize bad people is they always have some kind of religious overtone and religious requirements, and it gets really creepy because I'm starting to catch it now being woven into many of the stories and many of the video games that beware of those religious holy roller type, because it's a cult and it's evil and they're up to no good. But folks, we need to keep a clear conscience. Those of us who are true Christians, we need to keep a clear conscience, realizing that those who are opposing us will make accusations, and they will, as this text says, defame you as evildoers, meaning they're going to slander, they're going to speak evil against you like you're the bad people and they're the good people, okay? And then it says, those who revile your good conduct in Christ, that they may be ashamed. So here's the thing. If we keep a clear conscience before God, that means, how do you keep a clear conscience? You live right, okay? How do you keep a clear conscience? Well, you just never feel guilty about anything. No, you keep a clear conscience by living right. And then when those accusations come, you can have a clear conscience and you know that you have nothing to be ashamed of.
I was just going to add that you keep a clear conscience by not doing anything that makes you guilty.
Yeah, right.
When you're guilty of something, you don't have a good conscience, because you know you're guilty of right. something. just don't do that. Don't live that way, okay? Right. Right. So that if somebody wants to bring something up against you, they have nothing. They're going to have to bring up lies about you because they can't find anything in the truth about you. That's how we're supposed to live our lives, right. Is we're supposed to live it for the Lord. And if somebody is slandering you, it should be based on they're making up lies about you.
Right. And, you know, it just dawned on me as we're trying to apply a lot of this stuff to marriage. I'd remind you, sometimes the battle goes on within a marriage where there's accusations, husband against wife, wife against husband. And if you're living properly, then, you know, I've heard a wife say, I can't trust him. And you dig a little deeper and you find out there's a reason she can't trust him. Yeah. You know, she's caught him on the internet a bunch of times, either doing porn or on dating services or texting old girlfriends. And it's like, you know, you can't tell a wife, oh, just trust your husband when he's living like that, right? And so let's just now take a little slant here and apply this to marriage. I really believe it's so important that you keep such a clear conscience that your wife can look at your emails, your web history, your texting, your phone history, and you've got nothing to worry about. Matter of fact, one thing that's kind of exciting that I'll be driving down the street and my phone is ringing or I get a text, I'll just grab the phone out of my pocket and hand it to my wife, and she checks it for me. She's got my passcode. She knows how to check my phone if she wants to get in there.
He knows how to check mine.
We have no secrets. It's just a wonderful thing to have a clear conscience, okay? So let's apply this to marriage. If you want your wife to trust you, then live trustworthy. Live above board and keep no secrets. And you never get to the point where you say, well, that's private. What I do with my phone is private. No. If you're married, your wife should be able to pick up your phone and look at your texts and look at your emails and look at your web history on the computer or on the phone. If you're living right, you've got nothing to hide. And so I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's just so freeing to have a clear conscience, to know you could lay your head on a pillow at night. You got nothing to feel guilty. You're not worried about, oh, I hope I don't get caught. And we've, you know, it's just a wonderful thing to keep that attitude in your marriage, that there are no secrets, nothing hidden from one another. Now, let me continue here because there's just a couple more things I want to say. Is it goes on to say in verse 17, I'm in 1 Peter 3, for it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Okay? And here's another principle a lot of people don't realize. Do you know something? We will all suffer in life one way or another. I mean, suffering is a part of life. And I think what Peter is trying to tell the Christians, it's better to suffer from false accusations or slander, but you have a clear conscience. It's better to suffer by persecution and all that stuff rather than to suffer because you're guilty. All right. And I think it might even, I don't know if it's in this text, but there is a text that speaks of, you know, but if you do evil, then you deserve the wrong that's done to you. Okay. So don't take pride in, oh, I'm being persecuted, when you just got arrested for robbing a bank or stealing or doing drugs or something that you're not supposed to be doing. And then you go, oh, yeah, I'm being persecuted for righteousness' sake. No, you're being persecuted because you're guilty. Okay. And so whether we're applying this to marriage or our everyday life in the world, it's important that we learn to be ready for suffering, because suffering will come. But don't let that suffering come because you are guilty and you're reaping what you've sown, okay? Matter of fact, Bobby texts that suffering is a requirement for growth. I really believe it is. I believe that the text says that after you've suffered a while, the Lord will strengthen and settle you. I don't have time right now to look up the exact address, but I think it's in 1 Peter as well, that when we suffer and we continue to do right, I think that there is something that makes us grow spiritually when we suffer wrongly and keep a rightly attitude, okay, can I put it that way? When you know you're being accused, falsely accused, or maybe persecuted at work. I've had times before I get into the ministry where I had jobs that they would pick on me because I was a Christian, and they would try to set me up to fall. They'd try to set me up with women. They would try to put porn in my toolbox. They'd do all kinds of stuff just to try to mess with my head. And you know, there's all kinds of suffering. You will suffer in life. But make sure you're suffering because you're doing right, not because you deserve the suffering. I do hear the music. I know you hear it too. That means our time is up. And maybe tomorrow we're ready to go into a new text, our next scripture. Okay? Lord bless you guys. Thanks for joining us today. And thanks for your comments, those of you who have texted in. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in his wonderful face. I want to grow dim standing next to you.